up, sucker butts? This is Tiny Tina, and you're listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
Episode number 85 for the website nerdappropriate.com. We are here to talk about all things games, comics, movies, whatever else we feel like talking about today. But today we have a very special guest on for the entire podcast, Ashley Birch. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Welcome.
Yay.
People,
Yay.
Of course, know you from like, Hey Ash, what you playing? Or Tiny Tina from Borderlands? Or what else?
That's about it.
That's it.
That's all I got to offer you guys.
What else do you need?
That's some pretty amazing stuff. Now you write, you act, you do all sorts of stuff. You are a multiple threat. Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's a thing.
Is a multiple threat. Threat.
Yeah, that counts. Multi threat. Awesome. That sounds better.
That sounds good. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, that's better trademark. Business cards. Yeah.
Thanks so much for coming on and hanging out
sure.
with us. And this will definitely be the first time that there are two Ashes on the podcast at the same time.
Yeah, dueling Ashes.
Yes, this is going to be a violent battle to the death.
But it's the third time we've had two ladies on at the same time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
we're diversifying, guys. We're really diversifying.
We are. It's a rarity.
We're doing it, you guys.
So how we normally start this off, Ash, we kind of just talk about what we've been doing and hang out a bit. And I know we did that before we hit record, but we're going to do it again and just see what
everyone's
been up to.
Try to remember exactly what we said.
Exactly,
There's
yeah.
good stuff in there, like robot AI.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, so that's a secret.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and start with Hillary, because Hillary is in the middle of moving, and she had a near-death experience during her move.
Oh, so no.
Let's start there.
Okay, so I'm moving up to the San Francisco Bay Area, which in theory from LA shouldn't be too bad, except that when we first got to the house after never seeing it before, there's a long story with that one. But this is the first time we've seen the house. We walk in it, and it smells a lot like gas. And we go outside.
I mean,
yeah.
Farts, right? Like
no.
Like there's hobos.
Every time I say that, I'm like, someone's going to say farts.
And it will be Ash.
Yep, sorry.
It totally will be. And then we walked outside and over by where the meter was, and it was so strong. Like, you could barely breathe. It was so, so like, smelly, right? So
it's awful. God.
So you lit a match. Call-
exactly. So we called PG&E, which is the gas company out here, and they're asking us a bunch of questions, and, like, all of a sudden, the lady's like, get out of your house right now. You need to evacuate. And we're like, but there's a truck coming, like, in a half an hour with all of our stuff, like an 18-wheeler semi-truck coming. And then at the same time, Comcast, which is the cable provider out here, they were going to show up as well. So basically, we're standing outside of our house, and in theory, that probably wasn't the safest place either, just in case the house blew up.
Yikes.
I don't know. Yeah, so all of a sudden, the Comcast guy comes. It's like a total grumpy guy, horrible guy, and he's just all mad because he, number one, is late. Number two, now he can't get in the house because of the gas. And then all of a sudden, like right after that, you hear this like loud rumbling noise.
Oh,
and it's,
no.
And it's the semi coming with all of our stuff.
Oh, okay. So, for some reason, I thought that was going to be like, and then the house exploded.
I know, right?
Ew.
That would make the story much better.
Yeah, exactly. You need an explosion sound. So we're standing out in the street. The semi's blocking like all traffic on the road, so the neighbors are getting like super angry. And then like the Comcast guy is just like stomping his feet and getting all like, I don't know, temper tantrum. And then finally the PG&E guy comes up, and he's like, oh, there's a 35% leak here, blah, 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 blah. So then he turns off all the gas, and it's, mind you, it's like 45 degrees out, so it's like super cold. So then we like can go in the house at least and start the ball rolling with everything else. But it was just so crazy. I mean, how did all of these things converge into one moment of like hell?
Well,
so
the funniest part is you were really concerned about how you were going to podcast, and you were literally, you told us you're now in your grandparents' basement.
it's my parents, but
I'm in
my
parents' basement. You're in your parents' basement podcasting, so
yeah,
that's dedication right there.
That's so stereotypical, too, to be in your parents' basement.
Yeah,
it's true. And with three cats on my lap. So
there you go.
Oh, we're fitting the mold right
you
now.
Are.
Is what you're doing.
Oh man, you are the internet.
I just need to like you know, never mind. I just need to gain a bunch of weight and sit here and eat Cheez-Its.
Oh.
Cheez-Its? Really?
Yeah, and I need like 15 monitors. That would make it so much better.
Don't make fun of all my monitors, Hillary. Like collect them, okay. So Matt, what have you been doing? You mentioned that you were perhaps a little bit cantankerous today.
I don't have any house blowing up stories, but I ordered, like a week ago I was not on. My parents were in town and I had to take the weekend off. And we were taking them around, and I have an old Android phone, and it dies constantly, like every day, essentially, like within 3 hours of turning it on when you unplug it from the charger. It's just a piece of shit at this point. Mm-hmm. And so we went into a Verizon store, and I was like, this is it. We're just getting new phones. So I go to get, I'm trying to like remain strong. I'm going to be that one weird dude with the Windows phone. I was going to really try it out. And I go in,
support
and they're
your
like,
decision.
They're like, we don't have any. And I'm like, you don't have any. And then first of all, the guy tries to sell me a white one, which like doesn't even exist. It was like a weird, it just was weird. And so I get Melissa an iPhone and we leave. And so now she's got like a shiny, awesome iPhone. And I'm like sitting with my turdy little Android phone that doesn't do anything. And then like I go on Monday, I check and Amazon's got this like crazy deal on the Windows phones and they've got them all in stock and they're going to ship immediately. And I'm like, perfect. So I order one on Monday. Ship it to my house. It shows up on Tuesday. No one's there to get it, so it bounces back. It shows up on Wednesday. No one's there to get it, so it bounces back again. And I'm like, all right, I'll divert it to my work so that I can get it at work. So I divert the shipment to my work. It takes them 2 full days to just process the order, just to be like, hey, we're going to move this to Manhattan instead of Brooklyn. 2 days. And then Friday
push
rolls
a button
around
in there.
Friday rolls around and they ship the thing to White Plains, which is like upstate New York, to bring it back to Manhattan. So it didn't come in on Friday. And now I have another stupid weekend with my crappy phone while Melissa gets to play Hero Academy and it just sucks.
Oh.
All sucks. I'm not happy about it.
Hero Academy is so good too, man.
I know it is. I've been playing it every once in a while on her phone. I'm just going to get an iPhone, guys.
Get it on Steam. Yeah, get an iPhone.
Just do it.
Yeah, just join the dark side.
Yeah, just do it.
Get an
iPad. I was playing with Davis's iPad.
Oh yeah.
Recently, and it's fucking ridiculous.
Do you do you play the Hero Academy, Ash?
I don't have. I actually have an Android as well. So I haven't played it.
You got to grab that on the iPad. That's the hotness right now. Is playing
really
Hero
good.
Academy. Yeah.
Especially.
Yeah.
I saw that you were playing XCOM in the show notes, which I'll talk about in a minute. But if you like turn-based strategy and stuff, you'll totally love Hero Academy. It's great.
Oh, man. Fuck. Okay.
I haven't had coffee yet either, guys.
Oh.
Oh, man.
Oh, what
are you
doing?
Why do you do this to yourself?
That'll do it to you.
Oh. All right.
Scott, what about... we'll save Ashley for last because she's the special guest, but let's hear what Scott's been doing.
You know, we kind of joke that this was like a group therapy session when we do these podcasts sometimes. Yeah. And that's kind of what it is, you know, because trying times at work. I just want to graduate, you guys. I'm not even kidding anymore. That's like I'm going to swear off all fun and enjoyment until I can finish, you know.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, I started playing Fable the Journey last night, which is the Kinect Fable
game.
How
is that?
It is better than you might think.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I really like Fable, but I couldn't get behind the whole like Kinect only, you're riding in a carriage thing.
Yeah. Well,
but wait a second. When somebody says it's better than you might think, how good is that really?
I mean, it's good. It's good because, you know, there aren't a lot of like Kinect sort of narrative games that I know of, that are kind of like adventure games. And, you know, obviously this is on the rails and that's the only way that it works because you have to cast spells and do things like that, but it's actually really fun. And it's actually,
do you have to flap your arms around like a crazy person?
No, you don't. It's more like you have the force because you're throwing like lightning bolts and pushing things around on the screen, and it's really cool.
Hmm.
And it feels
any
like
characters
Fable.
Are there that? Any characters that are familiar
if you Teresa the seer?
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah,
yeah, she's like, she kind of guides you through the game, but I'm really impressed. It has so far exceeded my expectations, so I'm really happy with it. And Because I had a pretty tough week, I decided to get myself a little something.
Uh-oh.
And in an effort to try to revive my...
You got a prostitute!
No!
Oh, awkward.
He got a happy ending.
Oh, my God.
Hillary, that was just gross.
Whatever. Ash said prostitute.
I upgraded my Nintendo 3DS to an XL, and I sold my 3DS.
Another 3DS? You'll never learn, sir.
I got it in the hope that I would still use it. So
you won't.
That's where we're at right now, and I love it. So
how was your Surface?
It had a gigantic update this week, so I'm curious to see what happened. But I still like it, and I can earn achievements. Did I mention I like achievements?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got like a gamer score of like a million.
Yeah, he does. He's crazy.
What?
Oh my God. It's pretty high.
It's pretty high, yeah.
Okay.
Well, guys, for what I've been doing.
No one asked.
I know. No one ever asked.
I want to hear from the other Ash.
So, I know. I'll just go quickly. So I took yesterday off work because I was at work late on Thursday getting work done. And I went from one building to another to make copies. And then... apparently, they locked all the doors behind me as I was walking between buildings
and locked
me out of all of my stuff and everything. And I had like a total meltdown because I'm sitting there with like stacks of papers. I had my car keys on me, thank God. But my room was unlocked and all my stuff was in there. And I was just like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm like, I'm going home and I'm not going to work. So I took
seriously?
A day. Yeah, I took a day and I played some games and kind
of. Is
that
why you were home on Friday?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I talked to you for a little bit while you were making copies. Was it that day?
Yes. It was.
I totally jinxed you then.
No, you didn't jinx me, but I just was. I took longer than I was supposed to because I was having a nice conversation with you. And then I was just like, oh, shit, now I'm locked out. But other than that, I've been, you know, I played a lot of Spartan Ops on my day off, which was actually more fun than I was really anticipating. And, geez, I really haven't done too much. I'm excited to see The Hobbit this weekend. I'm definitely going to go do that, which will be fun.
I've heard no 48 frames per second.
You've heard go or no?
No, that's to what avoid it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to avoid that as well.
That it looks like a TV show, and it's weird.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't want that. So
why does it look like a TV show?
Because it's like no blur, essentially. Like, it loses that kind of film blur quality. So
oh, yeah.
It's like a little too crystal clear.
It's too clear. So like when cameras pan and stuff, everybody says it's really weird and kind of off-putting for such a high-budget movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So,
well, enough of us.
Yeah. Now on to our special guest, Ashley Burks.
Hello.
I'm super excited to hear what you've been doing. I'm
not even, oh, man. Well,
I'm not going to ask the line because it just feels too cheesy. But what have you been up to this week?
Hello, Ashley. What have you been doing lately?
Have you been playing games?
Question mark. This didn't happen this week, but since Hillary had a like near-death experience moving, I was like, oh, maybe I should share mine because I had a near-death experience moving to Seattle, which is a while ago. But I got my car checked out like before I left. I just took it to the mechanic that's near here and I was like, just can you make sure that like everything's cool because we're going to drive like 19 hours and I don't want anything to be cool. Yeah. Right. He's like, yeah, totally. And so I picked it up. He said everything was fine. And we're driving on the freeway and there's this like pop sound and like this. And so I pull over and I look and the treading on the tire has like, I don't know what you'd say, popped, detached, whatever, but the tire itself is still intact. And so I was like, what the fuck? So we pull off the road, we take it to a tire shop and replace that tire. And when I'm there, I'm like, can you just like, let me know if any of the other tires should be replaced.
Right.
And he looks and he's like, no, I think you're okay. This one's a little bit cracked, but I think it should hold up fine until you get to Seattle. And I was like, okay, cool. And we are an hour outside of San Francisco, actually. And the tire that he was worried about just straight up pops. And
what?
We're going 80.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
We're going 80 on the highway at night.
Oh.
And I don't know. I forget anything that I ever learned about cars, and then instead of just like letting it correct itself, I do the like, and I blame the steering wheel this way and that way. And so we spin and I cut across the next. Yeah, it's crazy. Everything's fine. Everyone's fine. So it just becomes like a crazy story instead of like a tragedy. But we cut across the next lane of traffic, spun around, and then went into a ditch. And like the butt of our car started like going up a little bit. And it didn't roll into the next lane. I think that's what I realized. Oh, this is what the ditches on the freeway are for. But yeah, it was crazy. And
wow. It's terrifying.
It is totally
scary. And I don't really know how, like... I don't blame either of the mechanics because they gain nothing from telling me not to change my tires.
That's true, yeah.
I don't know. The guy who said that the crack is okay, I mean, that's a lot of... I mean, 80 miles an hour going for like 12 more hours or something, that's a lot of stress to put on a tire.
It's true. I just, I was thinking about it and I'm like, I was a sitting duck at that point, though. Like, he could have been like, replace all the tires. And I'd be like, okay, you know? So, I was wondering if maybe it was just like...
Maybe he was lazy, like the Comcast guy.
Yeah, maybe he was grumpy. Maybe he was the grumpy Comcast guy.
Probably.
What if he was?
Service industries being grumpy.
So he gets fired.
Like a really mediocre villain.
I'm not going to tell you to spend money at my shop.
That's how much I hate you.
But that was a while ago. Recently, things have been good.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm just settling back into living in LA and seeing a bunch of friends and doing meetings and things. Cool. So, yeah.
Cool.
Ooh, important meetings.
I know. Secret things that cannot be announced, I'm sure.
Secrets.
Yeah.
That's cool. Well, thanks so much for hanging out and coming on. And we're going to talk a whole lot about games, so we hope you're ready for that.
Oh, I'm pumped. I am
awesome.
Ready.
Good.
Let's do the rundown.
Okay, so in the news, we're going to talk about Valve's Steam Box, which still sounds dirty to me. the sort of result of the Humble Bundle with THQ, which turned out to be more awesome than it was last week. And, of course, we're going to talk about Borderlands 2 and Tiny Tina. We'll talk about The Walking Dead and XCOM, Spartan Ops from Halo 4, a cool indie game that I've been playing called Minion Master. And it's funny just to read the notes for the first time and see things in here. And then this week's Nequado, which is our Nerd Appropriate question of the week, is what is your favorite family moment from a game, movie, or TV series? I think this is a great question.
Yes.
Guess so. Okay. I think I need to clarify as we get closer to it, though.
Okay.
Clarify.
Okay.
Yeah, I just don't know what you mean by family moment. But we can worry about that later.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, we'll figure it out later.
Okay,
I'm sure.
This is
sure
of
we
course
can figure
in
this
honor
out,
of Ash, who you know has a great relationship with her brother Anthony, and and so we figured we'd have a family question on here because we want to see what other family moments that folks remember.
Nice.
And by the way, I just recently watched an old episode with your mom on it, and it is the Cooking Mama episode.
Oh yeah!
Holy shit! I laughed so hard.
She did a really good job. We weren't sure how she was going to do.
And she is like remarkably like my mother-in-law because my mother-in-law is Chinese.
Uh-huh.
And the mannerisms and oh my God, there's so many similarities. So Matt,
that's
if you
so
haven't
funny.
Seen the Cooking Mama episode, you need
I'm
to...
trying to remember if I saw it. It was a long, it was a while ago.
Yeah, it was good.
She's just a tiny little Thai woman. And it's kind of adorable.
It's
but
awesome.
Yeah, she's also in a different episode, the Mother's Day episode.
Is that the one where she's pitching the show idea?
Yes.
Oh, that
is
hilarious too.
Completely, just 100% true. Like that whole interaction they have at the beginning, where she's like, "No, I don't want to be. Don't film me. Don't film me." Anthony was like, "Well, I'm gonna do the secret camera shit." And yeah.
And her show idea was amazing. It was basically. What movie? Oh, like Sword. She wanted your show to be more like Swordfish.
She is the only person in the fucking world that loves and still watches and still thinks about Swordfish.
Wow.
She...
Really funny about that? My mother-in-law owns Swordfish on DVD.
Yes, she does.
And I don't know. It must be a Travolta thing. I don't know what it is, but...
I think it is. My mom loves Travolta, and I don't know why. I really don't know why.
Oh, have you guys seen the new Christmas music video that he's in with Olivia Newton-John?
No.
What? Oh, what?
Oh, it's so bad. They're like trying to recapture their Grease days.
Oh no.
It's brutal. Just look for it.
It's
awful. I mean, most of the video is them running at each other singing. It's just not good.
Oh, that's like a guaranteed way to make yourself depressed at Christmas.
It's awful.
Just put that on loop and then you're done.
Oh, Jesus.
Christmas woes.
Everybody go watch it. Indeed. And you can thank me later.
News.
The first is something I'm actually pretty excited about. It's Valve's Steam Box, and no, that's not something perverted, Hillary.
It does sound so perverted, though.
It really does.
It kind of does. Well, that's not its official name, though. That's kind of just like what people have started calling it, you know?
Right.
But I just want to say, oh, yeah.
We all need to get us some Steam Box. Anyway, so according to a variety of sources, Gabe Newell kind of, he had an interview a little while ago, and he said that, yeah, you know, there's something in the works for next year, and it's going to be a living room PC that, of course, connects to Steam and Steam's big picture mode, and is really going to allow PC gaming from the couch. And I was just kind of curious what you guys felt about that, if you think this is a good idea to compete with next-gen stuff, or if you think that, you know, PC should remain in the dark basement.
In the basement of your parents' house with three cats.
Hey, now.
Hey, guys. Hey guys, Windows 8 is the worst thing that'll ever happen to gaming. Oh, by the way, we're going to release our own platform to sell video games, and we're going to be able to hook it straight up to your TV. You won't have to worry about Windows PC anymore.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I think
that's Gabe.
I think it's awesome, because the barrier to entry for me to even play PC games to begin with is the fact that it's not something I can do from my couch with a controller. You know what I mean? Like that's
but you
that's,
can. I mean, yeah, you can. With, takes, with big box. Takes, I mean, big I screen. Guess.
I guess so. I mean, I don't know. Just because I'd have to buy so many different peripherals. Like, I don't think that for me that's right now a good thing. But more competition in the market to make the console prices go down, I'm all for it. Plus, I mean, there's games that I can't play because how cool would it be to play an MMO, right? Like, from your couch.
So what does that mean for like mouse and keyboard gaming? You know, are the games going to be more like controller based now? If this is the case, if we move to the living room or
yeah, what makes
tablet based?
What makes this not a console is my question. Like, so the point of PC gaming is that it's like constantly upgradable, and you can, you know, always have the latest and greatest in machinery and all that. Not the point, but that's one of the reasons for. And this is going to be seemingly a box you put in your living room and ignore, and it just plays games, right?
Yeah.
But I wonder if you can do like the modding. Like that's something as a console player that I feel like I miss out on. Is I want to have naked people in Skyrim.
Ooh. Don't we all?
But I can't do that on Xbox or PS3. So
Ash, where do you do the bulk of your gaming? Is it on PC or Xbox or something else?
I'm a PC person mostly.
Okay.
Yeah. Although I like Xbox a lot for XBLA games and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think that's where we wind up too, is somewhere between Xbox and PC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I just got a PS3. It was great.
Oh, yeah. I like the PS3.
I definitely don't PC game as much as I used to. I mean, I used to be pretty much exclusively a PC player, but it's the same thing. It's like I like to be able to, you know, sit on my couch and kind of relax, and it turns it into a little bit more of a social thing for me. Like, you know, because
you get the whole like movie experience. You have like the big screen, and then, like I have the 7.1 hooked up, so I mean, it's like, you know, I feel like I'm immersed in it even more.
Yeah. Is this something you guys would purchase if it was, say, was maybe $500?
I think I would just stick with the computer that I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think at $500, you're entering. Yeah, I don't know. It's all price point, I guess. They're going to have to somehow figure out how to not release it at a PC price, to me. I mean, why not just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd buy it.
Is it going to be locked to, it's going to be locked to Steam, too, right? So it's a $500 thing that only does Steam.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right.
So it'd be like a console, yeah? Or like a Linux box or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I suppose they're trying to support Linux, which this is probably why, so they can build cheaper boxes with no licensing.
Well, whatever. Yeah. I mean, competition is good. Variety is good for consumers.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
I would too. I'm all for it. That's a great idea. Was that a horrible RoboCop quote?
No, that was a Smash TV.
Smash TV.
Oh, was it really?
Big money, big prizes. I love it. You know Scott. The one. Come on, guys.
Scott has a career in voice acting.
I do not.
He's the new voice of Smash TV.
Man, don't they really need to make one of those, a new one?
They do. They need to remake Smash TV.
It's just Scott sitting in his living room playing his old Nintendo.
So in the last news item, I just wanted to report on this Humble Bundle that we've been talking about that THQ has been sponsoring. And since actually the last time we podcasted, they added another game, which was Dawn of War, Warhammer 40K Dawn of War, which is incredible. And I think in the end they sold 885,000 bundles for over $5 million, which is incredible.
That's great.
Wow.
The president of, I think it was the president of THQ, actually put in 10 grand himself to the
bundle. Nice.
Yeah, that's really awesome. That's super cool. So good on them and a bunch of good games. So I'm never going to be leaving my PC again.
Seriously. There's some great stuff in there. So
cool.
Wait, like, the president invested $10,000?
Like he paid $10,000
of THQ.
Of THQ.
Oh,
he contributed
out of pocket.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why it's not like a million.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's not. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they raised $5 million.
Yeah.
THQ needs the money too.
I see.
Man.
All right.
Good.
Guy does something nice, and Hillary's like, not enough zeros on that one.
Yeah. I didn't say that.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, good stuff. Okay. All right, guys, we'll be right back with a whole bunch of reviews, and we'll be talking about Tiny Tina. Okay, we are back with reviews, and like Scott said earlier, we're going to be talking about Borderlands 2, and of course, Ashley being Tiny Tina, which we're excited about. And of course, we're going to talk more about Walking Dead, and a little bit about XCOM, and then I played some Spartan Ops, and Scott played some Minion Master, and we're going to talk about some TV as well, so it's going to be fun. Fun chat about games. Hold on, my dog's currently going crazy. All right. So, Borderlands 2, there's this game, right?
tell me about this game. What is this Borderlands?
It's got some guns in it. It's kind of crazy. No. In all honesty, huge fan of Borderlands 2. Huge fan of your brother's writing. And congrats to him for his transition from writing into writing for Gearbox, which is just incredible. And, you know, I've played so much Borderlands 2, I'm almost ashamed to kind of tell you. I have a level 50 Axton that's, like, geared up the wazoo, and I have a level 50 Gage that's geared pretty damn well. I still haven't beaten, like, a couple of the new raid bosses, but I've gotten to the point where I can like, solo a couple of them.
Awesome. Well, aren't you, like, obsessed with Handsome Jack?
Oh, I think Handsome Jack is just an incredible villain. I think he's one of the best villains in recent years. So I think he's amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to see. I can't spoil it for our listeners that haven't played it yet, but I want to see more Handsome Jack. That's all I'm saying. So a little bit about Borderlands 2. There's still kind of, I guess there's a couple more big pieces of DLC coming out. One kind of got leaked. We don't really like to talk about leaks right now. We're on this podcast. So there's one that kind of got leaked. So we know that there's two more coming out with a season pass. Tiny Tina was just in the last one, which we reviewed on the podcast a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
I feel like I need to ask you so many Tiny Tina questions. So this character was basically created for you specifically by your brother, correct?
Kind of. It's he pretty much was just writing it and realized that he was kind of writing it in my voice. And he was like, "Oh, fuck. What do I do?" So he had me in mind for it, and asked, you know, or mentioned that to the Gearbox folks, and they were like, "We'll have her audition," and so I did. It wasn't total nepotism, although it was like half nepotism. It was like at least in the 50% range, but they had me audition and liked it, so I got put in. But yeah, it was more like I don't think he sat down and was like, "I'm gonna write this for Ash," but as he was writing it, he was like, "Oh fuck, I'm writing this for Ash, aren't I?" Yeah. So
amazing, amazing. So once you had the audition and you read some of the dialogue, did you ad lib a lot of your stuff, or was it just?
No, I was actually very faithful.
Really?
Yeah.
That is really cool. So some of the lines that she says are some of our favorites in the entire game, and she is, you know, absolutely ridiculous. I don't think there's any of us that have played through the Tiny Teen the sequences that weren't laughing hysterically.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, that's like that is a high point in the game. Like, I know this. It totally just sounds like I'm, you know, gushing to you, and I am a little bit, but
he does that sometimes. It's okay.
I get excited. Mm-hmm. I get super excited, but. In terms of the character, she does have like this dark past, and like it's interesting, and you discover a little bit more in the latest DLC, I guess through some, I think it was audio tapes or something, right? Mm-hmm. Was that the latest? And so, you know, you're sort of like this strange, your character is sort of this strange orphan who kind of lives out in the middle of nowhere and likes to blow stuff up, which fits in perfectly into the Borderlands universe. And then I don't know which... Maybe it wasn't in the latest piece of DLC, but I guess she has a past history with Brick. And there's like an audio file of like her riding on Brick's back, like throwing dynamite and stuff like that, which is just really awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she, I think, are you referring to the echoes that you get about her parents? Like,
yeah, yeah. I can't remember.
I think that might be in the main game.
It is in the main game? Okay.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool to hear, you know, her sad story, you know.
Yeah, Anthony did an AMA recently about Borderlands 2 and Hey Ash and stuff like that. And he mentioned, so I think it's okay that I say this because he mentioned it on Reddit. someone asked like what was something that you got cut regret like having been cut, and he said it was I can't say spoilers. Yeah, can I just say spoilers like 1,000 times until...
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah it's fine.
Okay,
do it.
Spoilers oh my God, spoilers. spoilers okay.
Seriously you guys
this is bad territory. When Roland dies, she was originally part of the like tell his friends that he died mission.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And so you would go to her, but she was so, I think the problem was that she was just like so much farther away because everyone else is just like right in that area.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why they cut it, I think. Oh. But you go and visit her and you tell her what happened, and she gets super sad and asks if you can leave. And then she goes in her closet, and if you go up to the door, you can hear her like silently weeping.
Oh, that's so sad.
Aww.
Yeah, because she and in her little abode or whatever, she's got a picture of her and Roland together.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
Yeah, so they were bros, and she's bummed that he died.
That's,
so
that's cool.
That was something that he was sad about cutting, but was in there.
Well, it seems like the character is popular enough to definitely warrant, you know, coming back. So, you know, something tells me you'll definitely be returning as Tiny Tina, because she is, you know, a lot of people, like we said before we started recording, a lot of people really love this character. I was talking to one of my friends who works at Capcom, and I mentioned that you were going to be on the show, and she's like, Tiny Tina is probably my favorite character in any game ever.
Wow.
And I'm not exaggerating. Yeah. And she like,
that's awesome.
Absolutely loves your character. And a lot of people do. So it's got to be pretty cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, I will. Definitely. I'll definitely do that. And so this kind of leads to you. We're getting kind of interviewee here, but you really want to pursue voice acting now.
Yes.
Which is super cool, because we are huge, huge fans of voice acting in games. And we love to have voice actors on the show, and we've had folks like, you know, Allie Hillis and Jennifer Hale and Tara Platt and a bunch of voice actresses on. And we love what they do, because I think in modern gaming, voice acting really makes or breaks the game.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And I think
all of the voice acting in Borderlands, all of the actors hit it out of the park. I don't think there's one person that does a bad job.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm very critical of voice acting, just because it's kind of something that I really appreciate and I enjoy. So I would definitely say if something wasn't good, but it is all really great. So it must feel really cool to be a part of that, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I played the game, obviously, because I play games and also my brothers.
I don't know how many voice actors do that. Probably very few, I would imagine. Although I heard David Hayter talking about it. Yeah, that play their own games. And I heard David Hayter talking about it, and he said he plays Metal Gear Solid, which is kind of cool.
That is really cool.
Awesome.
I love me some David Hayter. Anyway, I hadn't heard any of Damien, actually, until all of the public stuff started coming out, so the trailers and that kind of thing. And I was like, oh, wow, he's good. But I didn't realize how good he was until I started playing it. And I was blown away by Damien's performance as Handsome Jack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was absolutely. Was just,
and he just won Spike VGA for that, too.
Mm-hmm, which is really cool.
It is.
It's really awesome. Yeah. And it's funny. He's like, just like a super cool, like he's just like super cool and charming guy. And Anthony said he saw him at the VGAs, and he was like, it was the first time we saw Damien like really like excited, and he was like, it was really cute. But yeah, I was totally blown away by his performance. And a good friend of ours that also lives in Texas, Colleen Klinkenbeard, which is the best name ever.
Wow.
Although she got married recently, so it's different. Colleen, I don't know what her last name is.
Hopefully
anymore.
That's the middle name now.
Yeah,
she can't get rid of that.
She's hyphenate.
I know. She plays like 30% of the females in Borderlands.
Oh, didn't she do Lilith and Tanis, right?
She's Lilith and Tanis and Captain Scarlet in the DLC.
Holy shit. Whoa. All three? That's incredible.
She's an amazing voice actress. She's actually Gohan in Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, no way. Wow, that's funny.
Yeah, and so it's just filled with people that you're just like, man, it's awesome. It's like, you know, it's like the best of the best almost. If Jennifer Hale and like Troy Baker, like all dogpiled on Borderlands 2, then it would be like the ultimate.
Yes, for real.
Yeah, but it was really awesome. Anthony actually got to do a little bit of voice work in it as well. I don't know if anyone noticed that.
No, I didn't. What did he do?
It's funny. It is they needed someone that sounded really bored sounding is what he said. It's when you see all of Handsome Jack's doubles at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Those are Anthony.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, wow. So him saying like Handsome Jack E shit in like a really monotone voice, that's Anthony.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was really funny when I came to it.
That is amazing.
So I have to ask, like, you're clearly a good comedic actress as well from all the years of Hey Ash, What You Playing and stuff. What draws you to voice acting? Is it more voice acting now than like live action, or is it kind of
you?
It is.
I would like either. Voice acting is appealing to me because it's just pure acting. Like a lot of like on camera stuff, it just comes with a lot of bullshit. Like, I mean, any job has networking and stuff, but it's like to be an on camera actor, you have to like, you know, try to maintain a certain hygiene, I guess. You have to shower and things.
Well stated. Well stated.
That's why we do a podcast. We don't like to be we don't like to shower before our podcast. Yeah. Strictly yeah. Audio here.
No, but don't you have to be concerned with like lighting and like angles and, you know, blocking, yeah, and all kinds of stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, there's only so many roles that I would even be considered for in terms of on camera work. I can be a 12-year-old girl.
Oh, no.
A 16-year-old girl. But with voice acting, provided I can just make it work, provided I can just sell it, I can be a 13-year-old psycho, or I can be, you know, a fucking like soldier maybe one day, or
that'd be cool,
or you know, a villain or anything really, as long as my voice can fit it. And you know, there are limits to what my voice can do as well, but I feel like I have a lot more opportunities to do interesting characters than I would on screen. Like if I feel a lot more fulfilled doing games work. And I've also been very unreasonably lucky about the work that I've been able to do. I can't talk about any of it, unfortunately, except for Borderlands 2. But the stuff that I have that's going to come out soon is really exciting. And it's
awesome. Well, congratulations before we even know what it is.
Thank you. But yeah, it's just a matter of like, I would never, ever in a million years get those roles in a live action setting. Although I love live action. I like the subtlety of live action a lot.
Is there something that you would like to do voice acting wise? Like, do you have like a sort of pie in the sky thing? Like, oh, it'd be cool if someday I could do X or whatever.
Well, I would say it would be cool if I could someday be in Mass Effect, but yeah. Fortunately, I love Mass Effect a lot.
You're on the right podcast
then.
Okay, good.
Huge Mass Effect.
I'm with my people. Good.
Yep.
And especially Jennifer Hale's work in Mass Effect.
You need to listen to, I think it might have been 75 or something. Or no, 70.
It was 70.
Episode 70, because I totally lose my shit and gush. I'm almost like a weepy fanboy. But she was so cool and so gracious and just like, she's incredible at what she does. And she busts out a couple characters just like on the spot. I think she did like Cinderella and Shepard and a couple other characters
Remember that she is not Cinderella. She just shows up from time to time.
That's right. Yeah. She's not allowed to actually legally say that she's Cinderella, which is Yeah. It's a weird Disney thing. Yeah.
It's like on her IMDb profile and everything.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's super weird.
Maybe she can't be seen doing it.
That's what I think it is. Yeah.
Probably like outside of that makes sense. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that actually kind of makes sense, cuz it's like preserving the mystique or whatever.
Yeah.
But Cinderella showed up, so that was
Cinderella
awesome.
Showed up in that podcast. Yes,
it did.
Awesome. If I could reverse time and be in Mass Effect, then I guess that.
Awesome. Well, it's possible that they are working on another Mass Effect game.
Mm. It's true. It's true. What happens with that? I mean, I just loved the story that I had in Mass Effect so much that like I would gladly welcome a new Mass Effect game, but I'm also just like also totally content for this to be it. You know?
Oh, I know. I'm in the same boat. Like, I want more, but at the same time, like, I'm glad the trilogy's over. But I love the universe so much. I kind of want to see what's next. You know?
Yeah.
So,
I kind of have this running joke going that there should be a Mass Effect kart racing game, where it'd be like miniature Garrus inside of the Mako.
Oh God!
With Big Head though, right?
Yeah, Big Head. Yeah, Big Head Garrus driving a little tiny Mako. Yeah,
that'd be amazing. Yeah.
I think the devs said that on Twitter once too.
I know.
After you said it,
they do listen to the podcast.
I think that they do. I'm actually going to say that yes, I believe that the developers at BioWare do listen to this podcast.
You heard it here first.
Ash,
yes.
Which one?
Sorry, do you have some? Good.
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
We have nothing important to say.
Then let's just end it now. Right, yeah.
We're done. So we're gonna put that out into the universe that Ash would like to work with BioWare.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's
do it.
You heard it here.
You Ash, not the Ash.
It went out.
Oh, yeah.
But whatever. Who knows?
I'm so important.
Ashley Birch would like to work with BioWare.
There you go. Specificity. Yeah. You and Anthony have kind of a cool story of just, you know, because everybody always says whenever everybody wants to do something, they want to be an actor, or they want to have a gaming site, or they want to make games, and they go to a convention and they, you know, get in a panel and they go, how do you do this? Like, how do I get to be where you are to somebody? Right. The answer is always just do it, just start doing it. You know.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you guys did, and now you're branching out, you're getting into voice acting. He's writing for Gearbox. What I kind of want to know, and you've probably answered this in other places, but what was the spark that started, hey Ash, what you playing? Like, what got you guys going, like, all right, let's get a camera, let's just do this, let's write, and let's make this happen?
Boredom and sadness.
Awesome.
So Anthony and I have a group of close friends from high school that were originally just like Anthony's friends and I was a little sister, but then I grew up and then we all became friends. But back in that time, everyone went out of state for college except for Anthony. So all of his closest friends, like the only people he hung out with, were suddenly gone. And so he was kind of like, I need to like fill time somehow. and I was still home because I was in high school still. So he was like, do you want to like fucking, I don't know, like do the rap, like Andrew Ryan's speech and dress up like him, and then I'll film you in front of a green screen and we'll put Rapture in the background, I guess. And I was like, okay, I guess. And so it wasn't like that at all, actually. Like, okay, cool. And funnily enough, we never did that. We started with the Ikaruga episode. And then we were like, oh, I guess we could just do sketch stuff. But it helped that Anthony had Destructoid as a forum to put videos on. And the people there really like him. Like, he has a lot of good friends from Destructoid. And the owner of Destructoid was like, I'll help you guys shop this around if you want. Like, just sites that can actually, like, pay you. And
make that dollar.
We're like, yeah, exactly. get that paper. So yeah, it just started as like a, let's just do this because we're bored and need things to fill time in our empty lives. Not really.
No, we totally feel you. That's kind of the same reason why we started this. Like, yeah, now we have an excuse to like goof off on Saturday mornings and like not have to like mop the house and do stuff that we
mop the house.
So many times I have to mop the house.
Yeah. I sadly already did that this morning.
Did you really? Did you mop the house
this morning? I did. I mopped the house this morning.
I've never mopped the house.
I wish that that
Did you literally mop like the whole house? Or did
I did.
You just
I mopped. I don't want to take time away from Ashley. She's telling a story. This is not about my mopping.
I'm totally fine with it becoming. but yeah, it was just sort of like a, you know, a fun thing. And it's funny because I feel like maybe people think that that answer that they get at conventions or when they go, because people ask us that question all the time too at our panels, like, how do you, I want to do like what you do or get into what you're getting in, like, you know, in the industry that you're kind of in, like, what do I do? And I feel like people might think that just do it is a bullshit answer, but it's legitimately not. Like, it's not a bullshit answer.
Yeah.
It's literally what you have to do.
The thing that sucks about you guys is that you were actually really good at it right away, whereas most people, including us, were like absolutely horrible at what we're doing when we first started.
It's episode
our
one
first
was
podcast
a disaster.
Is really bad, like so bad it's not even funny. And
oh man, I feel like we were really shitty right away too.
Oh no way,
no way,
no.
Or at least I can see the improvement, I guess I should say.
Sure,
Watching season one hop for me is just a total cringe fest.
Is it really? Well, that was 4 years ago, though, right? I mean, a lot has happened for both of you guys. And so, I mean, you can definitely see, like, a lot of changes. But I honestly would tell you if it started out funny. Like, you guys are genuinely both very, very funny. And so, I mean, that also, you know, any thousands and thousands of web videos exist that are total and utter shit.
Yeah.
And this, you know, you guys put this out and people are like, wait a minute, this is really funny. So it's just kind of a testament to your, to both of your talent, you know?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. That's cool.
Man, where do we go from here?
I know.
Silence.
We just got all sentimental.
Just let it hang, guys. Let it hang for a second.
Yes.
Just keep that hug together a little bit longer.
We can move on and talk about some of these other things that Ash would like to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just vomited a bunch of shit on there. We don't have to talk about
that's
all.
That's all we do.
Can I throw you under the bus for just a second, Ash?
Uh-oh, yes.
So I sent Ash the show notes. Like, I was trying to be totally professional. I'm like, here's our show notes. Like, here's what we're going to talk about. And I had labeled like a bunch of the topics that I was going to say with my name next to them.
Oh.
And so Ashley writes me back this email, super polite, like, hey, like, she's like, I haven't really played Halo and I don't know what all this is. And like, she's like, all this stuff you assigned me to do. She's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. And I'm like, Ash, my name's Ash too. And then like in all caps, you're like, I'm a total dumbass.
So yeah, I thought that was after that.
Oh. Although I can see that, that's kind of awesome that you thought we just assigned you things to do.
I know, right?
And I felt like such a dick. I'm like, oh, here she is thinking like I gave her like game playing homework. Yes. Like our podcast is like, you must play this, this, and this by
Here's the deal. If you want to be on our podcast.
You must
I've been on podcasts before. It's like, oh, let's play this thing and then we can talk about it on the podcast. And I was like, oh no, did I like miss an email or like, oh God.
But so you actually provided some stuff that you wanted to talk about, and I was super excited because you put Walking Dead on this list, and Walking Dead is not to spoil next week's podcast, but it's one of my games of the year for a variety of reasons, and I want to hear what you think about it because I've been gushing about it for months and months and months. So
by the way, before we jump into that, can I just bitch for a second because I was really excited to buy the whole 5-season pack or whatever on Amazon or Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm.
It released for like an hour and all of a sudden they sold out.
Oh,
so
wow.
So basically what happened is you could buy it on any other platform for $29.99 except Xbox, which then it became not Prime anymore, so I had to pay for shipping.
Ooh.
Plus the price went up to like $44 and then
$49.99. Somebody else was selling it then, most likely.
Yeah, jeez. They were selling through a reseller, but I was so mad. Yeah. I was so mad. I was like, really? Really, it's Amazon?
It's definitely worth your $40 though. So
Yeah, but here's the thing. I could buy it on a different platform for $29.99.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Annoying.
That is another advantage of PC gaming.
There you go.
Yeah, you can get it on your Steam box.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Hillary likes to get it on her Steam box.
I do like to get it on in my Steam box.
Womp womp.
Whoa.
Whoa. Just got oddly personal on this podcast.
Wait a sec.
Amazing. All right. So Ashley, what did you think of Walking Dead and kind of what set it apart from some other titles this year?
I loved The Walking Dead. I'm in that camp of people, I don't know how many of us there are, that really like moral choices in games.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Yeah.
I really like the pressure of it and the conversations that come out of it. And the first game I played that was like that was Fable 2. And I love Fable 2. Fable 2, I don't care what Animal says about it. I really love it.
No, it's rad.
That's right.
But Anthony judged me so hard for choices I made in the end of that game. And I like that like you can be like really close with someone or like whatever, and you can just see that's not the only reason, but it's one of the neat reasons. Like you can just see how they would choose something completely different than what you would choose, and you would assume that you would choose the same thing. Because you're mm-hmm. like, oh, we get along so well, we have the same sensibilities, and all of a sudden they do X thing and you're like, what? You did that?
Yeah.
What? Mm-hmm. I've had experience with that recently watching my friend Tamara play The Walking Dead. She made every opposite choice that I did. And I just was like, who are you? Like, I don't even know.
And I
you.
Love how they show you the percentages at the end. Like, there are a couple decisions near the end of the game, which I won't spoil, but where I was like totally in the minority for some of the things that I did. And I was like, what?
Yeah,
other people wouldn't make that decision? I was like, holy cow.
Yeah, yeah. It's very surprising. Yeah, the thing I love about The Walking Dead is just that, I mean, it gave me, I had to marathon it. I can't imagine doing the play an episode, wait a month, play,
oh, that's
play
what
an
we've
episode,
been doing.
Wait a month.
It's torture.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I can't imagine. Because I had to wait a night between 4 and 5, and I was like having a panic attack. I was just like, but then Clementine, and like, what if I, oh God, did I do it? Like, I was just like, and I love that. I love that. A game can give me that reaction that I'm just like so nervous about the choices that I made that it might affect this character that I really care about. Mm. And I think that's one of games like as a medium, it's one of its strong suits.
Absolutely.
I've talked to people that really don't like kind of the choose your own adventure kind of games where you can affect the storyline. And I'm not really super sure why. I mean, they say like, you know, I just really like having a crafted storyline for me. Like, I want someone else that's better at this than I am to make a story for me. And I can see the appeal in that, but it's obviously a mixture. It's like, I'm not creating the story from thin air. I'm playing a well-crafted story, but I'm also implicit in it, and it makes it so much more, emotionally compelling. It's incredible. Like that's why I love Mass Effect so much. And, you know, blah, 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 say what you will about the ending.
Mm-hmm.
The first half of that game had me in tears. Like I was bawling, you know?
The Liara and the time capsule. Oh, I was a mess.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, spoilers or whatever, but like all the stuff with the Genophage mission.
Yes.
I had to put the controller down and like take a second, like go for a walk. Like, and I've never had experience. I've had that experience with like some TV shows, but like I'm like totally over movies at this point, because it's like I could spend hours with these characters in a TV show and really get to know them and really be affected by it, or I could play a game and like influence how the story happens and like mm-hmm. how these characters that I really care about, like what happens to them, or I could watch 90 minutes and then,
I'm totally in that camp as well. Like I feel like the experience of like of storytelling. I love the whole, I love dragging it out and giving you more time with the characters and more time with the universe. I think it's such a,
yeah.
I think it's a better medium for storytelling now.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, I think, sorry, go ahead, Matt.
No, go ahead. I've been talking.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say that I think, you know, because I've been playing games so long, you kind of get used to sitting with a character or characters for multitude of hours, right? So I think that's why so many people now are waiting. They're not watching live TV anymore. They'd rather stream like an entire season because it yeah. almost gives you that same experience. Like you can go and you can check on those people. You don't have to sit and wait for next week's right. episode. Yeah, which is exactly why I've waited to play The Walking Dead, and I'm super excited to play it. But yeah,
I haven't yet.
I haven't. So
me either.
I know, but I'm like super like it's the top of my list. Like I can't wait to get it.
Yeah. Hillary and I both were waiting kind of to do, I think we were both waiting for the same reason, to kind of do the all in one playthrough and not
yeah.
to do
yeah. It's totally understandable because it gets very intense. But yeah, the great thing about The Walking Dead is that it can focus on the story and just worry about the story and like making the story good and making those choices like compelling for the player. Because even if things don't actually in reality differ that much between choices, and in sometimes you know they do, sometimes they don't, it always makes you feel like you made that choice and now these mm-hmm. things are different because of that choice.
It is great. You always end up in the same, it's in the same place, but it's sort of how you get there and the reactions of the people along the way, you know. And
yeah,
I think they did a brilliant job of like steering that story in a particular direction. But I think what, you know, Scott and I talked about the Lee's relationship with Kenny a lot, and
oh,
that was sort of
about
like
Kenny all the time.
The driving, you know, one of the driving parts of that game was like how you deal with this guy that's kind of unraveling beyond his relationship with Clementine, because Kenny is kind of like this loose cannon, you know, throughout the entire story. You never know what he's going to do. Like, is he going to be your best friend, or is he going to shoot you in the head and you not even, you know what's going
to
happen? So.
I just want to be like, right. Kenny, man, we're bros. You're my bro, and I'm trying to be cool.
I know.
You
always want that dialogue option. Like, man, we're bros.
But next time you act up, I'm just going to punch you. You know, I'm going to slap you across the face or something. Like, you know, it's like, you got to get it together, man.
Yeah, that's one of the points of contention with, I was talking about my friend earlier that I was like, I don't even know who she is anymore.
Yeah.
Not to spoil anything, but she has been loyal to all the things that Kenny has thought like the entire game.
Oh, wow. And Kenny's kind of a radical. So she, you know, like I was trying to talk Kenny down like the whole time. Like you need
same.
You need to relax, man.
And there's certain crucial points where I was just like, you sided with him?
Yeah.
What?
We can't be friends
and then other
anymore.
Things too. I was like, yeah, I feel weird talking to you now. No, I mean, Anthony and I were giving her shit for like ever. We still do. I mean, she's like almost done with the game and we just don't like, we just refuse to not talk about like all the choices that she made that we did wrong.
But well, to be fair, I let Tally jump off a cliff in Mass Effect. So
I can understand. I can understand that though.
Like, yeah, I was like, oh, that's all right.
I did not know that was an option. Because like, so when I was playing Mass Effect, Anthony had played it first, and so anytime something sad happened, I would email him and be like, Anthony, and he'd be like, this happened, and he would send me like a YouTube video of like the Renegade option or whatever, and I would just be like, how could someone do that? Like, I was just like, and that's why part of the reason that I love Mass Effect so much is that like it's pretty much there's just like two different games in there, like
for real.
Mass Effect, I don't understand, I don't want to understand, and I would never play it. And I did not know that Tally killing herself was like a thing, and he told me about that and I almost started crying because it didn't happen. I was able to, and I didn't know how, but I was able to like make them cool with each other, but I could see how easy it would be for that to just not happen.
Well, because you really like Legion, you know. I was like, I want to it's a choice between Legion and Tally, like I'm totally gonna choose Legion.
What?
Yeah, like I mean, it's
kidding?
Understandable.
I love Legion.
I almost romanced Tally in too, and then I said no, I didn't want her to die, and I didn't know if she would die or not. So I let her, I was like, you know what, this isn't right, we're not going to do this. And then in number three, I just felt like allied to her the entire, not I lied, like allied to her the entire time. I got them to work out too. I got, they worked out their differences with me.
Yeah.
I was like, we don't need to do this, guys. We can all be cool. And Legion, like, you can be friends.
Yeah. Because I was bummed that Legion has to die.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Anthony was like, well, at least Tally didn't jump off a cliff. And I was like, that can happen?
Yeah, no, how dumb did I feel after I, you know, let all that go down and then Legion died? And I'm like, what?
One of my friends called me and he was playing through Mass 3. And I guess he just, I don't know what the hell he did, but he made like every wrong decision. He's like, something weird happened and I shot Morden and then and then Tally jumped off a cliff and Legion died and Grunt got killed by a bunch of monsters. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Are you just pounding the buttons to get through the dialogue options? And I'm like, are you out of your mind? He's like, I don't know what's happening. Everybody's dying. I'm like, oh my God.
You have to out who that is.
That's Micah. Micah did that.
Oh, no.
If that were my game, I would just kill myself.
I know, right? Like, all of my friends are slowly dying off.
I know, and I love, oh my God. Morden is, one of my favorite characters in, fiction. I love Morden. Yeah.
Well, we totally agree. We actually had Patrick Weeks, who writes Morden. We had him on the show, and he's a...
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, he's so awesome. He's a great friend of ours, and he's an amazing guy and an amazing writer. And he told us, if you want to go back and listen to it, I don't remember which episode it is, but he kind of talks about the process of writing Morden and actually writing the death scene in detail. And it's one of those, you can almost play a harp in the background and start weeping, because he talked about how emotional it was as a writer to actually write that scene, because he loves that character, you know?
Yeah.
And
he's an incredible character.
Absolutely. And I think actually in the latest Game Informer, they had the top 10 scenes of the year in any game,
and Morden
the Morden scene was number one, so yeah. Happy for
oh good wow. Yeah, I mean, it's totally valid. I played that one and I was so sad, but he was I was also just really proud of him. It's so stupid. I sound like I'm talking about an actual person. This is how I get about Mass Effect.
No, this is what happens on this podcast. It's totally cool.
but I was really, he was totally content and happy. And he was no, I want to do this. I know this is the right thing to do. And him singing his little song as he was, fucking saving the world. I was just oh my God, it was perfect. But then I watched, because I emailed Anthony, sobbing over email, being Morden just died. And he was well, at least this didn't happen. And he showed me the Renegade YouTube video. And, it's almost it just is more heartbreaking. I mean, not even the fact that he gets shot and he's crawling and he can't make it, but just the fact, when he screams, I made a mistake.
Yeah.
I was just that hit my heart really intensely. Yeah. And I think my entire time of playing Mass Effect 3, I was just crying the entire time pretty much.
All of us were too.
Did you play multiple times through Mass Effect, or did you do one playthrough?
I did my one playthrough and that was it.
Ah, that's how I played too. Yeah, so did you just make decisions and say this is my decision, I'm going to move forward, and that's all there is to it?
Yeah, I kind of just wanted the one story. This is my shepherd, and she.
That's awesome.
It's her story, and yeah, and so, and I'm happy with the way it turned out.
Yeah.
My friend Brinny, who is a really awesome artist, she's and she draws comics and stuff like that. She made this really hilarious webcomic. And the title was just playing Mass Effect 3. And it's five panels. And the first one was her playing the game. And the second one is her covering her mouth. The third one is her sprawled out on the kitchen table with dinner in front of her she can't eat. The fourth one is her in the shower, just looking mortified. And then the fifth one is her clutching her pillow and not being able to sleep.
Oh my gosh.
And I was yep, that's what it is.
Yeah. It definitely was a pretty emotional game. And that's why I'm so damn excited for whatever is coming next from the universe.
I'm
glad the trilogy's over. It was a great ride. I still say, we've said it 100 times in this podcast, but Mass 2 is probably one of my favorite games.
Yeah.
All time. Totally.
I'm still pissed that I didn't get the VGA for Game of the Decade. Literally, Mass 2 changed the face of gaming.
Mass 2 is still the game that I put down my controller and not just walked away for a minute, but literally put it down and just left the room and was okay, what am I going to do here? I don't know if I should. I don't remember what decision was. It happened a couple times, but it was just that game that just this is it had so affected me that I couldn't even deal with it otherwise.
And the music?
I had to leave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jimmy Henson.
Go, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
He's a genius.
I was going to say about...
You didn't actually know Jimmy's origin story until I heard it on your podcast, Ash.
Yeah?
Yeah, because, we just kind of knew him through mutual friends, and I never really knew his whole story of how he got hired for the Mass Effect games. And it's actually a really cool story. So I'm glad.
It's an awesome story, isn't it?
You dragged that on. Yeah, it's like a Cinderella story. It's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's so cool.
Right,
yeah,
place, Jimmy's the best. Right,
I wish nothing but the best things for Jimmy. He's
absolutely
a cool guy.
Where did you guys meet?
We just met. I'm friends with Denny Baranowski, who does all the team meet music. So Super Meat Boy and Binding Isaac, cool, nice. Stuff
awesome.
Like that.
Awesome.
And
all those guys are friends. Yeah, all the.
Yeah, they're all from OC Remix, okay. And they're all pals. And so I was hanging out with Danny at MAGFest, and he introduced me to Jimmy then. And then ever since then, I've just been like hanging out with Jimmy at cons.
Cool.
Because he's the best.
Cool. So we ended up talking about Mass Effect randomly.
Yeah, that was
I know.
Oh, it's totally cool. That's...
Well, if I can swing it back toward The Walking Dead, I guess. But sure. That's the reason that I love The Walking Dead. Actually, whoa, I just forgot I have a poster, and I just looked at it. Oh, it's so great.
Actually... I was going to say about Walking Dead, the amazing thing to me is that, because I'm kind of over the zombie genre,
sure,
kind
yeah.
of, some way.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm just overloaded on it.
Totally.
But damn Robert Kirkman, man, like, his like the TV show, the comics, the game, I haven't played the game yet, but everything I hear about the game, you never hear anybody talk about the zombies. It's always the relationships that are created
yeah.
inside of the stories.
Yeah.
It's just mind-blowing that he pulled it off.
And honestly, I think that's why zombie stories are interesting, at least to me. It's always like, and I was trying to think of a way, like, how do you replicate that same, like, scenario with the tension and, like, seeing how people change and stuff and not have it be zombies? Like, that's just... always like how it seems to be, you know, it's
yeah,
like a
yeah.
group of eclectic people getting together and having to like try to trust each other and figure out and navigate life.
What do you do in the zombies. Worst case scenario, you know? It's like,
right,
do you become a hero or do you become a total douchebag?
Exactly.
Like, you know.
Exactly. And oh my god, Clementine is just the fucking...
Let's talk about Clementine for a second. And I said this before in the podcast, but the first kid, well, and Tiny Tina, first kids games that I've ever really liked. And that is
absolutely, yeah,
incredible. I mean, right now, I can't remember the voice actress's name, but she's actually voiced by an adult, which is really awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
And that character is just so amazing. Like, what did you think
Fantastic.
Of the Clementine character?
I love her. It's hard doing kids, I think, because...
Wait, what did you say?
Whoa, back that up.
Whoa.
Hey, whoa.
Writing's whoa. What I meant. Writing's what I meant. Voice of words, here we go. Oh, God. Well,
we're really
see everyone.
On this podcast.
writing kids, because it's how I don't remember really what I was like in a kid, and I don't know how I do, but I don't know how I would act in that situation. And it's easy to make kids just fucking annoying and
yes.
awful. And they did such a good job with Clementine by making her supremely likable, but not in such a way that you're like, no kid would actually act like this in this mm. situation. It became, she was just super believable.
And you totally just want to do right by her the whole time.
Yes, exactly. Like yeah. if the game doesn't work, if you don't like Clementine, mm-hmm. if you don't like want to protect Clementine and make sure she's okay, it doesn't work. And I haven't met anyone that's like, nah, Clement, nah, you know, yeah,
exactly.
Except for my friend, kind of. And that's why I was like,
your friend that makes all the wrong decisions.
My friend that makes all the wrong decisions. that's why it's so mind blowing. But yeah, so it's a combination of her voice actor being incredible. She and the guy that voices Lee are just fantastic. Well,
yeah.
pretty much everyone is, but those two in particular, I was really blown away by Lee, and I was really blown
he
away
was
by
great Lee. Too. No, I agree.
Fucking Telltale. But yeah, so her voice combined with her animation is so good and so sad. Like when she gets scared, her whole body shakes
yeah. mm-hmm.
and her eyes get really big and really scared. And
I love the animation in that game. It's
yeah,
so
it's and just that alone, like the first time you meet her when she this isn't really a spoiler because it happens like 5 seconds in the game, but you get attacked by a zombie and she gives you a hammer, I think. But as
yeah.
she's giving you the hammer, her whole body is shaking and she's so scared. And like, you just like, oh my God, like you just want to take her and like hug her and be like, it's going to be okay, Clem. It's going to be
yeah.
okay. And even from the first moment you meet her, that's like, I think she just immediately endears herself to you purely even just through animation. And then it's just validated over and over again as you continue in the game.
Yeah. There are moments also where you do things and she'll witness like you do something bad and you're like, fuck, I really wish she wouldn't have seen me do that. You know, like
yeah, yeah.
you actually feel guilty for your actions. You're like, I don't want Clementine to see me like you know, punch this guy because I want her to like have a positive image of my character, which is just brilliant writing, you know?
Yeah, totally. I did all of my choices that I made in the game were, well, you know, the hashtag for Clementine, they were all for Clementine. Mm-hmm. Any times that, like, honestly, it was funny because any times that, like, I was confronted with a moral choice and I wasn't quite sure, I'd be like, well, what would Clementine want me to do, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And so I made all my choices based on what I thought was best for her and what she would expect and want from me. And that's what made it so powerful, because it's just this fucking, it's a fake girl, you know, it's a fake little girl. She's not real. And yet she occupied my thoughts the entire time, like every day that I was playing, like, you know, and for weeks after, the night before I played episode 5, like I almost couldn't sleep because I was so worried about her and like what was going to happen. And I emailed Anthony and I was like, if Clementine dies, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, you know,
yeah, for real.
It was a really awesome, the combination of moral choices and the situation and the need you have to provide for and protect Clementine, just all assembled to make it this really powerful and like really affecting, story. And it just wouldn't, and that's why games are so awesome, because it just wouldn't have worked the same way if you were just watching it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you can sympathize with Lee and you can care about Clementine, but it's not anywhere near the same as being like, oh my god, like this choice I make could affect her and I can't let anything happen to her, and like the sense of responsibility, and it's just incredible. It's just so incredible.
And they also they did a brilliant job of making you never ever ever feel safe in that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same with the comic book series and the television show. Like, you know, even your favorite character could go out in any second, you know, and you just never know when that's going to come. So I don't think I was ever, I love survival horror games a lot, or at least I used to, but I was never more terrified. Well, I shouldn't say never, but in recent years, I have not been as scared as I was playing that game. I remember my hands being sweaty.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, there are a couple quick time sequences where you have to like tap a button, you know.
Uh-huh,
I have never tapped so fucking fast in my life.
Yep.
I was like, I don't even know. I was like, I wish I had my old like NES Max controller with like auto trigger on it,
turbo buttons on it. Yeah,
yeah, turbo buttons. I was like, oh my god, it was insane. Like, I just had to, you know, save someone or do something. So they did a great job with that game, and I can't wait to see. I mean, they've, you know, gone on record saying, hey, there's more coming. So
I am gonna
freak out.
Yeah, it's just so just implicitly engrossing, that game. I was playing it on the computer in living room in our old apartment, and my boyfriend was sitting in our bedroom, like getting dressed or something. Like, he was putting on shoes, and because he was gonna go somewhere, and I was like playing, and then I realized like, oh, David didn't leave, and I look over and he's just like watching, like like just rapt, just like watching what's going on. I was like, do you want to like pull up a chair and watch me play? He's like, okay. And so the rest of the game, he was just like, he didn't go where he was supposed to go. Like, I think he had to go get groceries or something. We just didn't get groceries. And like, he just sat there and like watched me and was just as engrossed, you know. And anytime that there was a crazy moral choice, I would like, oh my god. And I would sit and I would like look, and it was like so amusing to him to see like my gears turn and like, it's funny. It's like not, it's a single player experience, and it's interesting to see, I can see it being really good to play in both situations, depending on who you're with, because you have to be able to make your own choices, and not feel like you're going
to
be judged.
It's great to watch, though. It's almost like a really amazing cartoon, just because of the animation. You know, I mean, you definitely get all the drama and stuff. But I would sit there if like somebody like my wife or something wanted to play it, I would totally watch it from beginning to end and just sit there, and love it, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because I actually enjoy watching people play games as well. And it's almost like sometimes you don't want to say anything because you want them to have like an honest experience.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like sometimes even I suffer from this too. Like, if I'm faced with a choice in an RPG, I think about, okay, well, what's it going to be like if I say I made this choice out loud? You know what I mean? Like, right, some, right, yeah. Like, am I evil? Like, am I bad? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's sometimes, totally. It's sometimes hard. Yeah. And then you kind of have to sit there and go, okay, well, I have to do what my gut's telling me to do. And not everybody's the same. And that's why they make this game. So I should feel confident that the choice that I'm making is my choice and not somebody else's. So yeah, that's the thing I love about those kind of games.
Yeah, indeed. I agree. It's awesome.
Well, cool. Let's quickly talk about XCOM and do some other quick reviews because we're going long because of our Mass Effect talk. And then we'll go into I love the Mass Effect talk, so I don't mind getting rid of the other stuff. And then move on to our question of the week. So, Ash, are you currently playing XCOM, you said?
I am, and I don't know if I will continue to play it because, as I said earlier, I am traumatized.
What happened? What happened?
So we stream.
A lot. You guys are streaming almost like
We stream.
Right?
Yeah, all of us, each of us have a night, and so mine is Ash Wednesday, her.
Trust me, I've heard that one before.
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Fucking A. So, I was playing XCOM before on the stream, but then I got really engrossed in it, and I just had to keep playing it, and so I kind of, like, went off and went too far, and I was like, well, I'll restart or whatever. And people started dying in my first Mass Effect game, and Anthony was like, okay, this is the way you have to play it. You have to play it. You have to do it Iron Man mode, and you have to name all of your soldiers after people you care about. And I was like, oh, God, I don't want to do this. And he was like, you have to do it. You have to do it. Yeah. And so I did. And in my first game, Anthony died.
Oh, no.
My friend Justin died. My friend Grant died. And my friend Aaron Lindy died. And Aaron Lindy had just gotten put in. He like died immediately, so it was like double awful. But Ashley Davis, my sister-in-law, was killing it. She was like fucking the best sniper that anyone's ever seen in their goddamn lives. Like, she was killing it, and that was the way that she was in everyone's fucking game. Like, every single game, she was a sniper, and she was like their most valuable soldier.
That's amazing.
In everyone's game, yeah, it's really crazy.
I never got a female sniper throughout the entire.
Interesting.
Game.
I had never two did. In this last one.
Oh wow.
That's so awesome. I was playing this one on the stream, and I did the same thing. I named everyone, you know, all my friends and family and stuff, and played Iron Man. And Anthony died almost immediately, and I was really sad. Whenever Anthony dies on XCOM, because it's happened twice now, I get really, really upset. So I'm like, oh, God, like, is there something I could have, you know? And so Anthony died, and I was like, fuck. But then I was doing well. Like, I was, like, you know, progressing, and I was, like, leveling a lot of people up. And I was like, okay, this is good. And I didn't ever get to the chrysalids in my first playthrough.
Oh, shit. Those things are fucking brutal.
So the last time I played... huh?
They just charge you and just...
I had no idea. And for my last mission, a lot of my, like, leveled up soldiers were wounded. So I went into one of those, like, I forget what the missions are called, but, like, where you're just trying to save as many civilians as you can.
But those are brutal.
I went in with two rookies and did not realize what I was getting myself into. And Grant, the entire time, was like, he would hop on the stream, like, why aren't you putting me in? Why aren't you putting me in? Yuli's in. Justin's in. Why am I not in? You got to put me in. You win the whole game.
It's
you
so
put me
upsetting.
In. I know. So I put him in, and he died instantly. Like... within seconds of doing anything, he died. And I was like, haha, that's hilarious, because Grant wanted to be put in so much. You know, it's funny. And then a chrysalid came and eviscerated Davis, and I was like, oh, God. Oh, no. And then killed what happened? Oh, yeah. And then I didn't realize that she turned into a zombie.
Yeah.
And so she came up as a zombie. And I was like, and I was streaming this, and I was just like, my heart was broken, and Anthony and Yuli that were on the stream with me, they were like, oh, God. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And then I think Davis killed Brinny, and then Justin died somehow. And
so
I just
tragedy.
Like,
yeah.
It all happened at once, and it, like, really, really, really affected me. Like, it's like the only other game that didn't have moral choices that affected me this much, because I made it all my family and my friends. So I was just like, I can't play this anymore, you guys. I can't play it. I can't do it. And I haven't played it since, because wow. I'm just so
it's gonna be a while.
Scarred. from that experience.
And plus, it doesn't help that the deaths are all like absolutely brutal too. Like when your soldiers die in XCOM, it is not a pretty thing.
No, it is not. It's not nice, and it's not gentle, and it's especially not nice or gentle when it's with the chrysalids.
Yeah.
So seeing that happen to Davis, I was just like, I was like, oh man, Davis is invincible. Davis has been in everyone's game, and she's always a sniper, and she's always awesome. She's invincible, and she just got fucking murdered in the worst way, and not handle it anymore. But it's an amazing game for that reason, because it's that same sort of like responsibility thing, except that and you know, naming your soldiers after your friends and family, it just does all the characterization for you. So it's like, oh god, my brother's dead, you know. and so it's like the Walking Dead sense of responsibility on crack.
Yeah, indeed.
Because you see your loved ones die right in front of you. Yeah. So I'm not quite sure if I'll be able to muster up the guts to try that again, because you feel so responsible. Like, I'm their commander. And I made those choices for
them. It's a really high stress game. Like, it's not a game you play to relax. It's like, it's really cerebral. You have to really plan out every single step you take, and decision you make. So it's a draining game, but I loved it. I had a great time.
Oh, it's incredible. It's an incredible game. I hope my trauma doesn't. It's actually a ringing endorsement. My trauma is a ringing endorsement for.
And definitely, we need more real-time strategy. We need to make it have a comeback too. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Cool, awesome. Well, I'm glad you liked it. I liked it too. Let's jump in. I'll really quickly talk about Spartan Ops, because if you listen to this podcast, you're probably aware that I'm not the biggest Halo fan. But I kept hearing all this positive stuff about Halo 4, and I got it on a Black Friday sale. And
door buster.
It was totally a door buster. They basically gave the game to me, and. And, you know, I really enjoyed the campaign. I finished the campaign over the week, and I started Spartan Ops, which is a 4-player co-op experience with its own campaign. And actually, the main, I guess, the commander in Spartan Ops is actually voiced by Jennifer Hale, and she voices this tough female Spartan. So she's the one giving you all your orders, and she plays a huge part in Spartan Ops. But, it is a great co-op experience. Each mission is pretty simple, like, you know, take out these targets, do this, do that. But you get to, you know, spec out your Spartan any way you want, with, you know, stealth or force fields, all sorts of different bells and whistles you get as you level up. So there is a bit of progression there. And it's very, very difficult, but also, you know, a lot of fun. There's a little bit of a story that goes along with it. Each mission that you unlock in Spartan Ops has a little bit of a, I guess, an animation that goes along with it. So it actually does tell a story. So if you're looking for a new co-op experience, it actually is a lot of fun. I'm kind of surprised.
And it's episodic.
It is episodic, yeah. So they're unleashing it. Sounds so dramatic. They're releasing it. They're releasing it every few weeks. And I think they're on episode 5 right now. So,
briefly, what did you think of the campaign? How did you like it?
Briefly, I liked it a lot. It's definitely Halo 4 was my favorite of the Halo games.
Awesome.
You can play that campaign in co-op too as well, right?
You can, yeah.
I totally want to do that.
And so, yeah, I was surprised by how much I liked the campaign in Halo 4. Because, like I said, I'm not a huge Halo fan. I never really identified with Master Chief. But they did a great job of giving him a personality this time.
Well, they voiced
you prefer
him,
the ground aliens to the space aliens, right?
I do prefer the ground aliens to the space aliens. That's true.
That's a throwback joke right there.
Yes, that is. That is.
It's an old throwback joke.
Yeah. So anyway, it's good. Definitely, if you can get Halo 4 on sale this holiday season, pick it up. And campaign's fun. Multiplayer's fun.
Cool. Should I talk about Minion Master for a second?
Sure. Go for it.
Cool. So there's this indie company called Bitflip Games, and they've been working on this game called Minion Master that we saw at PAX Prime this year, and it's finally out of beta. And pretty much what it is that it's a digital tabletop game that uses miniatures, and it uses like a collectible card system to cast the miniatures, and they do combat on the tabletop board, and it's very strategic, and it's super cool. And I think the thing that makes it really good is that the guys that make the game are all like card and tabletop players. So, you know, if you've ever done anything like sort of in that genre, like, these guys are sort of catering to you, and they cater the features of the game to you. So pretty much the way that it works is that you make a deck, and the deck is full of, like, cards to summon the creatures, and then modifier cards and stuff like that. And then pretty much the game engine automates the movement of all the characters according to, like, sort of like pre-scripted behaviors for all the characters. And you can micromanage too, but you really wouldn't want to, because you can get games on gigantic maps that have six players and there's like hundreds of characters doing battle at one time. But it's really incredible. I would highly recommend everyone to take a look at it and at least try the demo if you're into miniatures or tabletop gaming. But that the game is Minion Master. You can Google it. And the company is BitFlip Games. And it's just three people and a couple of part-time people. So it's really incredible what they've been able to do, you know, with limited resources. So it's super cool. I don't know what else to say, but...
That is cool.
Well, let's take a quick break and then come back and do our Nequada. We are back with this week's Nequato, or as Hillary forces us to say, nerd appropriate question of the week.
There you go.
This week is a family question in honor of Anthony and Ashley Birch. And it is, what is your favorite family moment from a game, movie, or television series?
You got some good answers. So as
we did get some good answers. I was very proud of it.
Much for participating.
Even previously mentioned Patrick Weeks gave us a very great answer.
He did. This is really funny.
He always gives good answers.
He does. Yeah. So first up on the list is at Platinum Fist, our listener and buddy Carlo. He says, not sure why this came to mind, but I'm going with Bullets Over Bel-Air episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
You can't go wrong.
Then he did # Heavy.
Now this is a story all about how... Come on, you guys all
we
remember
all know
that,
it,
yeah?
There's no way I'm singing it.
I've turned upside down.
We're going to get sued by Will Smith. The Fresh Prince.
Oh, man.
Again. He's always...
Oh, I hate it when that happens on this podcast.
We have a lawyer on retainer just for The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's ridiculous.
Smell you later.
These kids are coming after us, man.
So, what?
I was just going to say, did you see the... this is totally off topic, but did you see the trailer for the movie he's in now? It's another sci-fi... movie.
No.
I can't remember the name of it, but his son is in it, and it's like they're the two lead characters, and it looks amazing. They get really? it's called Another Earth or
interesting
Earth or I can't remember, but look
Welcome
it up.
To
it's
Earth.
Amazing.
Earth. Welcome to Earth.
Star Earth. Black Karate Kid.
Yeah. So Dan Thompson at IMDTM says, not one moment per se, but Road to Perdition is one of my favorites as far as media tackling fathers and sons.
That movie, man.
It's a great movie.
That's a good
movie. DTM's a buddy of ours, too. So
yeah, he is.
Thanks but that for movie, listening, man.
Thanks, Dan.
The end of that movie where Tom Hanks is on the floor and his son's there.
Spoiler, man.
God, it's rough.
It's like 10 years old.
Yeah, I don't think we can spoil that.
Great movie.
So Eric at eChap33 says, used up all the glue on purpose. Not a finger. Old Man Christmas Story, Broken Lamp, Family Controversy for years.
Oh, man. That is one of the great scenes of all time.
It is. It is.
I love Christmas Story.
We watch it. Do you guys, is it a tradition for anybody here around the holidays or no?
Definitely.
Always.
Definitely, yeah.
It's like
we do the TBS 24 hours of Christmas Story.
Of course. It's perfect.
Intense.
It's great. Next up is Amanda at Fluid Fire. Hi, Amanda. She says, the Simpsons episode about Maggie's birth when Homer has to go back to the nuclear plant. Matt, do you remember that one? I don't remember that one.
I was trying to remember that one, and I did not.
You're supposed to be our resident Simpsons guru.
I know. I'm so sorry. Well, this one that always comes to mind with me is the one where I think Homer sees Lisa growing up. Like, it's like a future episode, and it's like a really moment because she becomes power. It's a thing. Yeah. Anyways, I don't remember Maggie's birth one, though. I'd have to go. It's vaguely...
Well, there are 7,000 episodes of that show.
There are
so.
A lot. There are quite a few.
Would somebody like to share their answer with us now?
I'm going to just say mine because I'm going to steal probably a couple people's answers here. I kind of had two. One was from Telltale's Walking Dead game, and there is a moment at the end, which I will not reveal, but it's a moment between two of the main characters that have become family over the course of the game. And it is probably... I came closer to crying during that segment of the game than I have. I don't really cry at games, but that I was really close.
What?
I was like hoping that someone did walk in and be like, dude, what's wrong with you? And they'd be like, just leave me alone. I don't want to talk about it right now.
that was going to be my answer too.
Oh, was it? Okay. So yeah.
Am I the only person that does like open mouth, ugly sobbing when playing games?
Oh no, I do. I absolutely do. Oh, I'm right there with you. Absolutely.
Yeah, I almost got to that point where I was just like, I had to just like, I did that thing, you know, like that you try and do in your matcha, you like pound your chest real quick, like suck it up, man. Suck up. It's all right. Everything will be okay. This is a field. This is a game.
You hit your chest?
Yeah, I pounded my chest like, you know, that's what they do in the movies.
Wow.
Did you pop your collar too?
We're bros, man.
My collar and my polo shirt. And I was like, got to get in the Corvette and go for a drive.
Okay, Bert. I don't know.
What?
I'm trying to think of one of those names. Like in Back to the Future.
Chet? What's
like
Biff?
Biff? Biff.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry.
What a tangent.
All right, next up on the list is... the quad skater Melissa K from the podcast Reset Transmission. She says, Mal, cut her down, villager. The girl's a witch. Mal, yeah, but she's our witch. Cox gun.
Nice.
So cut her down. Firefly, awesome. Excellent scene, and does another look at family. Absolutely. What about you guys? You guys have a favorite moment?
Well, you stole Ashes.
Well, I know. I'm sorry.
Okay.
We have the same name, so
anybody else weirded out that they have the same same answer?
I'm one of the few boy ashes on the planet. There's not very many of us left. We were all hunted and ridiculed throughout our childhoods.
on Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I do have one actually. It was something that I thought of when the question came out, and I think it was the moment at which I realized the show was maybe a lot better than people were giving it credit for, or a lot better than maybe what I even thought it was at the time. But there was an episode of New Girl in the first season. I think it was one of the Christmas episodes where I can't remember what happens in the episode, but at the end of the night, they decide they want to go see Christmas lights.
Yes.
And they get to the neighborhood and like, it's late at night and all the lights are off, and they just start screaming like, turn on the lights, turn on the lights.
Yeah, it was a good scene.
And then all the lights come on and I was like, yeah, these people are like, they're more than friends, you guys. They're super cool and they're family. Yeah,
that was a good scene.
Yeah. I kind of got a little choked up during that scene because I thought it was really sweet.
But imagine if you were one of the families and someone did that to you. You come out with like a pitchfork and like hurl it at the hipsters in the street.
Yeah, but I think that's what made it endearing to me is that they were just willing to go out and do that, you know?
Yeah.
For one another. Absolutely. I thought that was cool.
Oh, I thought of one actually. That is The Walking Dead. Parks and Recreation is one of my favorite shows.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic show. The episode when Ron is really paranoid that Leslie's gonna do like this huge crazy thing for his birthday.
Oh yeah.
And so he's like avoiding her like the plague, and then she just gives him like a Ron Swanson birthday party, which is, you know, just like a steak and some nice whiskey and Bridge Over the River Kwai. And that exchange that they have where he's like, I thought you were gonna give me like a huge like birthday party. And she's like, that was an Ann Perkins birthday.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you guys don't want the same thing. And it's just super sweet. Like, I love Leslie as a character, and her relationship with Ron is so great. And it was a really, really sweet moment.
Oh,
so.
I love it.
Well, since we're all doing our TV ones, mine's actually from TV too. And it is, I have to set the scene a little because I moved to New York last year in November, and I moved by myself. I moved without, my wife stayed in Florida for about 6 months, and then all of, you know, you guys were all still there and whatever. And Modern Family, which is one of my favorite.
Oh, love that show.
Shows and sitcoms. The Christmas episode last year was like basically they all realize that they're not going to be around each other for Christmas, and they're like, oh, we're going to have Phil comes up with the Express Christmas, where they're going to do Christmas in a day, and everybody's like,
I love that one.
Running out trying to find all the stuff and everything. And you know, of course, I'm like already super emotionally fragile because I'm up here by myself in this like tiny little one bedroom apartment, and I'm like watching it. And the ending scene where Jay surprises everybody, and they go outside, and he's got fake snow in the yard, and they're all like together and have a Christmas moment. That was like heart wrenching. Like, oh my god, like, I'm not gonna cry. Uh-huh. It's fine that I'm by myself.
Did you pound your chest?
Yeah, yeah. Except it sounded a little more weepy. I was like, not gonna do it, man. Not gonna do it.
My favorite, there's so many good moments in that one episode, but I love when Phil like brings home the Cornish game hens.
After getting electrocuted trying to get the baseball card for Jay.
Or the spiders up in the attic. I was dying. Yeah. I think the entire episode I was just like dying of laughter. That's such a great episode.
Really funny, but that ending moment was just, it was awesome. It was really well written. So
it's great.
So next up, Justin Banks, right? Is that the next one?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
At 583, always gives us good answers. It's the scene in the movie Incredibles where the family suits up for the first time and fights together, which is a fantastic movie and a really great scene.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
And not the only Disney / Pixar answer we're going to have today.
Mm-hmm.
I could say also the scene in Toy Story 3.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Don't do that one.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Man. Furnace?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's a really good answer, though.
Yeah.
That is now. I'm gonna say that's my answer too. Okay, always my answer.
Take that.
But yeah. Oh my God. I've never. That was actually one movie that did really get me.
Oh
recently.
Man. As an adult, like, I have never cried as much as since I watched that movie. And then the scene where like he gives up the toys to the little.
Yes.
That whole movie just Pixar.
I can't watch it.
In the balls the entire time.
Yeah,
it was again. Mm-mm.
It was so good. That scene is like ridiculous. I remember talking to friends about it, and it was just like, this is a kids' movie, and I know they're not all gonna burn up. Like that would never happen. Never the way that it would end. But I was actually really legitimately scared that was gonna happen.
Oh yeah.
Because like, but then the fact that they like accepted their fate and all held hands, I was like, this is like the saddest, also most touching thing that I've ever seen.
Thank
in my
God.
Life.
Okay, what is with, okay, imagine having kids. Okay, I don't think anyone here has kids. So imagine having a kid and watching.
That I know of.
Yeah. And watching these movies with your child. Like, how, like, why are they doing this to us? Like, I you know what I mean? Like, I mean, as an adult, these movies definitely, like, as a kid, you're like, oh, that's sad. But as an adult, you're like,
yeah.
How is it going to be if you're watching these movies with a child and you're like sobbing hysterically because you can't control yourself? You can pound your chest all you want, but at the same time, you're just sobbing.
I think that's just a testament to the quality of Pixar storytelling, you know?
Plus, I think they're being mean.
Worst thing about Toy Story 3 is that, like, the whole episode's about getting older and, like, moving on. Oh, I mean, the whole movie. So, like, you know, being older, I was like, you're such an asshole, Pixar. Like, I don't have my stuff anymore.
That's why I can't watch Up. I spent the first 20 minutes, like, in tears because the guy lost.
Started. Oh, my God.
I can't. I was like, this is done. We're not watching this
up
anymore.
Yeah, Up is a shit show. I cried the entire time in Up 2. The best thing about the storytelling in Toy Story 3, though, is that, like, they completely convinced me that Woody going to college with Andy, like, they convinced me that they would think that was a satisfying ending because Woody is, like, all about Andy the entire time. And so when the box thing happens, you know, I was like, oh, God, please, please don't think that that's going to be satisfying. That's not satisfying.
Yeah,
and then they anticipated what I was thinking, and then they punched me right in the gut. And I was like, God, thank you.
Lassiter!
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, writing.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
All right. So
ahead, at Bystander 7 says, practice starts at 5. As of 4:55, you're late. Coach Carter to his son.
Nice. Coach Carter.
Nice.
Geener at Regener on Twitter says, the ending of Little Miss Sunshine where the whole family dances with Olive on stage. I haven't seen this movie.
What? Oh, it's such a great movie.
I know.
It's
really?
It's a good scene.
I know. I haven't seen it. I'm bad.
Oh, man. And Alan, or not Alan, what's his name?
Who you thinking of?
Alan Arkin.
Yeah, Alan Arkin. Yeah. Amazing in that movie. Like, amazing.
Yeah. Totally. Except in the hospital.
Never mind. Good.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to jump in and say mine real quick. Okay. So there's a movie that we've all probably seen, but probably not everybody likes. It's Scrooge with Albert Finney.
Scrooged.
No, not Scrooged with Bill Murray. Scrooge, like the old, like 1970s English. Yeah, it's like in my family, we always have to watch Scrooge. But you should see it because it's really, really good. And it's like a little bit of history. But yeah, I love the part where he gets reunited with his family at the end. And it's like my favorite Christmas movie slash English movie ever.
Oh, cool.
So it's the 70s version of the, you know, Charles Dickens tale called Scrooge with Albert Finney. Go check it out.
Interesting.
Great music.
Good answer.
Thank you. I try to be a little off the beaten path.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
All right. So Natalie at Stumpy Nat says, in Dragon Age 2, when the warden Bethany comes back at the end of Act 3 to help Hawk save Kirkwall, I had feels, man. And that's true. That was a good scene. I liked that scene a lot. And it was not expected. So it was cool.
Her hashtag is Hawkward.
Hawkward. All right. Nice.
Jesse Lamb at Axel 99 says, Ezio's mother telling him to get a real hobby in AC2. And then her hashtags are, I have plenty of outlets. I mean, beside vaginas.
Good one.
Oh, Jesse Lamb. She's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's awesome. She's so cool. She's great. Good. She's a good killer times. Artist. That's actually how we met Jimmy. That's how we met Jimmy.
New Ash, do you want to take the Patrick Weeks one?
I don't think she has the show notes open.
Yeah, I don't think she has show notes open.
It's okay.
Okay. It's okay. We'll recover from this. I'll get it. Don't worry.
3, 2, 1. Go.
Okay.
Go.
So Patrick Weeks, you know, at Patrick Weeks says, this is my family. I found it all on my own. Is little and broken, but still good. Yeah, still good. Lilo and Stitch. Not that a small blue alien made me cry or anything. That movie's fantastic. Yeah, and our dog, a little fun fact for Patrick Weeks, our dog is named Lilo.
Aww. Nice.
After Lilo and Stitch.
After Lilo and Stitch.
All right. And last but certainly not least is Hitler C. And he says, does when Bruce Willis says, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, in Die Hard count?
Of course.
Sure.
Family movie.
Yes.
Always
yes.
counts. That counts for most answers. So yes. You can always just say yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. So that about wraps things up for NA episode 85. Scott's going to have fun editing this giant podcast.
Yay!
But,
sorry, we talked about Mass Effect.
No, okay. It's awesome.
That's
we're
what
super,
a requirement.
Yeah, we're super glad that we did. And huge thanks to you, Ash, for showing up and hanging out with us. And,
absolutely.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Where can people find you? Plug all your stuff.
I have a Twitter account, at HeyAshWP, and we're on Game Trailers, the HeyAsh, HeyAsh which play in the show is on Game Trailers, and if you don't want to navigate Game Trailers, you can just go to HeyAsh.com, we post all the new episodes there. That's it, I guess.
And you guys have DVDs for sale.
Oh yeah, we have DVDs for sale and t-shirts and blah, 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 blah. Also, you should read Jailbird if you aren't currently. That's my sister-in-law's webcomic that she's doing, and it's great.
Oh, awesome.
Nice.
We'll definitely check that out. And you will be probably, we talked to you before the podcast started, but you said you might not be at East, but you will be at PAX Prime and
I will be at PAX Prime and Comic-Con. Yep.
Cool. And you'll probably have, I'm assuming you're going to be on panels or have your own panel at one of those. I'm assuming.
PAX Prime, we usually do, yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys. Thank you.
Good time. Matt
thank
did find
you guys.
You guys first. Matt told us.
He was that was the point of that story. I was just trying to prove that I'm the one who found the show.
Now you tell him what you told me.
You're the OG.
Now you tell him. You tell Ashley that it was me that I did it.